Hello, this is Janet Michael. In addition to hosting The Valley Today each weekday from 12:30 to 1 on the River 953, I also produce podcasts. And I'm excited to introduce you to a new podcast series in partnership with Rappahannock Electric Cooperative called We Are REC. Every week, we'll be releasing a new podcast where we interview different people from REC about a host of different topics. We'll get tips for saving money on your electric bill. We'll talk about renewable energy and the impact it can have in our communities. We'll even get some behind-the-scenes info about what happens when the power goes out in a storm. We're going to talk to linemen, energy advisors, board members, even the CEO. Don't miss out on information about community grants, scholarships, REC-hosted events, and more. Get every single episode as they're released on our website under the podcast tab at theriver953.com, or you can subscribe for free in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or on Spotify, anywhere you listen to a podcast. Just search for We Are REC. We are in the studio today with Lewis O'Berry. He is an energy management advisor for Rappahannock Electric Cooperative. And Lewis, what I'm hoping that you are going to give me today are some do-it-yourself energy audit tips. So if I know Rappahannock Electric offers for you or somebody on your staff to come and do an audit in my house, but if I want to try it myself first, there are some things that I can do and give myself an energy audit in my own home. Is that right?
Sure. I mean, if you have a little bit of basic know-how about how your systems work in your home, there's always some things that we can help you with to, if you will, conduct your own little walkthrough and see, you know, what's using the energy in your home and see areas that you can improve in. Some of the stuff is really simple and easy to fix. Some of it is what we call low-hanging fruit.
So let's start with the low-hanging fruit. That's my bailiwick.
Low-hanging fruit. So sometimes the low-hanging fruit items are actually pretty large, and you may need some professional assistance to get them done and make the repairs. But identifying them is the first step. So a lot of things that you can do in your home, sealing up drafts and inspecting your systems and keeping up with certain items in your house from a maintenance standpoint is good enough. So it just depends on what you need there. But if you were going to do your own audit, if you were going to do what we would call a DIY or a do-it-yourself walkthrough, you want to kind of get a good baseline for what your energy use is. We have a great tool there out there with Smart Hub, mm-hmm. so that you can look at your yearly usage. You can look at it and you can aggregate that data, and you can say, okay, typically in the wintertime months is when I'm using the most energy, which is very common for many people that live in the all-electric homes. So if you look at that, okay, what has changed over the years? Look at the weather patterns. Look at what your usage has done month to month in those peak times and go, okay, well, this is the area where I'm using the most energy. So let's see what hinges around those items and what can I do to tighten my house up a little bit more? What can I do to make sure that my mechanical systems are working as well as they should? And is there anything that I can do low cost that would help mitigate that? So if one was going to do that, I would say the best place to start would be to look at the building shell, look at what's going on with the house. You know, what are things that you can do reasonable? Obviously, you know, if the curtains are blowing around when the wind is blowing on a cold day, then you know you've got some issues with your windows, and simply just identifying that is easy to do. So remember when we were talking in our live broadcast, we were talking about how we can create a draft when we put our hand close to a piece of glass.
I cannot tell you how many people I have given that tip
to. From a DIY standpoint, the best way to do that is just – as we know, heat is always trying to escape your home in the wintertime, and the heat from the outside in the summertime is trying to get in your cooler home in the summer. So mm-hmm. heat is always moving to a colder place. It always wants to seek a colder environment. So in the wintertime, if you're doing this or any point, if you catch a breezy day where you have some what we would consider influence or a driver to create that draft, if you will, because it's always happening naturally, but sometimes it's harder to identify unless you have a little bit more going on. So if you have your HVAC system running and the ductwork's in the attic, or you have something there to drive that draft, outside resources, Mother Nature, the wind, the best way to check your windows and doors is that, you know, you can quantify that and feel it by your hand, and you can go around that and feel that, but that can be a little bit misleading sometimes. So if you were going to do it DIY, I would use very carefully take a candle or an incense stick and let the smoke from the stick determine what's going on around the glass. So you would move that around the molding of the glass and around the glazing and the sash itself just to see where the air leaks are. So if the air leak is, you know, where the window comes together, then you need to add some more stripping or some sealing around it. If it's coming around, you know, the molding, it's how the window was installed. So it needs to be, you know, trim could probably be removed and do some more air sealing where the window fits into the opening. So an incense stick is a really easy
way. Yeah, because the smoke is going
to
go.
To see what's going on. So if the smoke is just merely meandering around and just kind of dissipating and going upward, then you probably don't have a problem
then
with
you're
your
good.
Window. If the smoke is drawing inward as soon as you put it around the glass or around the outside of the window, then you realize, well, I have a problem in this area. So a lot of times it's just simple quantitative things to kind of let's see what's going on. Now, are windows always at the top of the list? Typically not, because we talked about air leaks being up high and down low. So if you have a basement or you have a crawl space, you want to make sure that you're capable of inspecting your own ductwork. You want to make sure that the joints are sealed. You want to make sure that the boots where they come through the floor and the ceiling and the upper level, if the ductwork's located outside of what we call the building shell, you want to make sure that you're looking at those items, making sure that they're not leaking and they're sealed between the ceiling. So recessed lighting, attic hatches. How many people's attic hatches are just kind of just sitting there or pull down stairs are there and you can see a gap and you're worried about something coming down to get you in the middle of the night. So
yeah, I have a man living in my attic. I just know that he's living up there. He keeps making noises. My husband swears he's moved away, but I know he still lives there.
So how many homes that have pull down stairs? There's no insulation there. Mm-hmm. There's no air sealing there. So they can be a little bit of a challenge, but constructing a foam box or making a hatch better with putting some insulation there and putting some gasket material and doing some caulking in those areas would help. Walking around windows and things like that, it's not necessarily always a huge benefit. It's more for water shedding than it is. So, caulking windows from the outside just generally doesn't stop the drafts on those. I mean, typically the issue lies with the glass or if the sash doesn't close properly. So caulking in those areas may not be quite as beneficial depending the case. Things that you can do yourself, walking through, trying to find leaks and things of that nature, gaps where pipes come through the foundation walls, things like that. I mean, when you get a little bit more in depth, it starts to become a little bit more complicated, and sometimes you need a professional. But just identifying those major things, leaks with the ductwork.
Now, can I check for leaks in the ductwork the same way I would check the windows if the furnace is running?
I would recommend a visual inspection because we wouldn't recommend somebody going too far into their mechanical system and get into something that they don't that's not safe. So you definitely need to be safe, and if you're not comfortable with doing that, then I would certainly lean that task more on your HVAC provider. A simple, just a visual inspection, seeing where the collars meet the trunk line, is that, are they sealed? Or are they, or what they call
tab in, tab out? Does it look like I have gaps?
Does it look like
anything?
You have physical gaps around the ductwork? Some people can see their duct really easily. Some people don't want to go in those areas to
ours are exposed
that.
In the basement, so I can easily see all of them.
Right, and if they, so if it's located in an unconditioned space and it's not sealed, then it should be sealed. Obviously, we always want duct sealed because we want the air to come out at the register. We don't want to lose it downstream in between all those points, but realistically where that's more detrimental is where the ductwork is outside of the envelope or outside of the conditioned space, so attics, crawl spaces, unconditioned cellars, basements that aren't receiving conditioned air, things like that. So that's where that can be a little bit more detrimental. So you want to make sure that, on a lower level, you want to make sure that you're not running ceiling fans all the time and doing things to incur power use to really have minimal benefit. I mean, some of those things are more low impact, but they're also, it all adds up at the end of the month.
Well, that was something else I remember that you taught me on a previous conversation that we had, is about heating and cooling using like electric heaters and using fans, and what actually they heat or cool isn't necessarily the person or the room.
So, part of that self-audit is essentially evaluating your lifestyle, evaluating the appliances that you're using, evaluating the time and hours of the day that you use those appliances, what they're accomplishing. So, when it comes to space heating and dehumidification systems in the summer months and all those things, we're always trying to counteract what Mother Nature is trying to do. If Mother Nature had her way, she's always looking for equilibrium. We always want to, if she had her way, it would be the same temperature and humidity inside the house as it would be
outside.
So we're always doing something to counteract that. But all the things that influence it, as in insulation, lack of insulation in areas, lack of air sealing, mechanical systems that aren't running up to snuff, if you will, for lack of better terms, and then looking at other things like that, are also going to impact your usage to a pretty large degree. So some of the things you can do on your own. So, installing window film kits, making sure that the weather stripping is good on the doors and windows throughout the house, making sure that your mechanical system is running well, it's clean, you're changing the filters. I mean, that's probably the easiest DIY maintenance item on your HVAC system, if you have a central type unit, is to keep the filter clean.
So and I learned that the hard way, because you wouldn't think that something as simple as replacing a filter would have an impact on your heating and cooling. And I hadn't changed changed a filter in between the winter and the summer, and our air, central air, went completely bonkers, and it was freezing up, and we thought they had overfilled it, and there were all of these issues, and as it turned out, all we needed to do was change the filter.
So lack of airflow will make it work poorly every time. So, you know, changing the filter and just keeping that maintained is just is a really easy DIY item. You know, other things when it comes to insulation and things of that nature, I mean, generically, R19 or 6 inches worth of insulation in the attic will stop, realistically, about 90% of the heat loss out of your house. So if you want to take it that far in your DIY audit and look up in the attic and see what your insulation depth is, you want to make sure that the insulation is intact. You want to make sure it's not scattered about the attic or compressed and been trampled on with storage or, you know, other items like that can degrade the insulation. I mean, over time, insulation will settle. It will lose a little bit of its R value. But overall, if it's, you know, if you look in your attic floor and you can't see your rafters, you know, you're not doing terrible. So, you know, be careful about adding additional insulation over top of what you have if you have an adequate amount already. So you're kind of chasing down a much smaller percentage at that point, and it really kind of hinges on what are the costs associated with that.
Yeah, it's not cost effective.
In relation to what are you saving over time. So, you know, my best advice for the DIY auditor would be to, if the installation is intact, it's at least 6 to 8 inches or 6 to 9 inches in the attic space. I mean, that's fairly reasonable to get started with. You know, air seal the attic hatch, air seal the things that you can get to, recessed lighting, things like that. You know, seal up the holes essentially at the uppermost level and the lowermost level, which are going to have the biggest influence on your energy loss out of the house, on your heat loss.
Well, and you say, you know, everybody has always heard hot air rises, you know, so when you're talking about the attic. So if I'm sitting in my basement, we have pipes for spigots outside and we have all these other things. And for the most part, my husband has filled all of those holes. But there's one that I notice when I'm coming down the basement steps to the washer and dryer that I can sometimes see a little bit of sunlight, just a teeny tiny bit of sunlight peeking in from the outside. Is that really going to have that big of an impact? Should that?
You know, it all comes down to total amount of square inches or of air loss. But you know, any place that you can see outside of your home, you should probably seal that up. I mean, is it a big influence? It all depends on what's going on. Is the ductwork located in the outside space? Is it leaky? Is it creating a mechanism to increase the amount of air that's able to go through that passageway or that crack? So the answer to the question is really that one item itself may not be detrimental, but cumulatively, it's a part of the big picture. So should you seal it up? Absolutely.
My logic has always been, if a snake can't fit through it, then I don't care. But then my husband says, you know,
you'd
how small.
You'd be surprised what a snake can fit through. Yes. And a mouse. So all things that most of us as homeowners don't like to find inside our house at any given point. You know, looking at that, doing a walkthrough, just being cognitive of what you're running inside the house. Take the pragmatic approach to LED lighting and things like that to kind of reduce your base load a little bit. Water heating is a big deal. So if you've got a water heater that's located in a garage or a cellar or heaven forbid it's outside, which we find with a lot of older farmhouses and things like that, you know, you definitely want to do as much as you can to insulate those, to reduce the amount of standby losses that you have with water heating. So water heating is a pretty big user. It can, depending on the home, it can be second or third in line in regard to annual energy use. So, you know, on top of the fact that you have the demand on it when you need it, but managing those things is also a big piece of that. So.
Well, and that's another thing that I've learned in this past year. You also want to flush your hot water heater. Maintenance to those other appliances is also very important in the grand scheme of things as well.
Right. So, I mean, making sure that when you're doing that walkthrough, taking care of any issues with your existing appliances. Clothes dryer uses a lot of energy for a short period of time, but it has an electrical heater in there anywhere between 5 and 6,000 watts. So if the dryer's running for an hour, you can use up to 6 kilowatt hours for that particular hour, plus whatever else you're doing in the house. When you look at that, all those things start to add up. So you want to make sure that your ductwork is clean for the dryer.
Mm-hmm.
It's not slinky pipe going outside
and
full of lint. I mean, not only is it a fire hazard, but it increases the time that it takes to dry your clothes. So just simply cleaning out the dryer vent from the point where the dryer is to the point where it terminates to the outside.
And that's the key. Yeah, not just
thing.
The lint filter itself,
yeah.
But that silver
over
thing
time,
that goes up and out, make sure
that
it's
filter
clean.
Does not catch all of the lint. So over time, you know, the ventilation system side of it, the duct work for that will get dirty and it needs to be maintained. So if it's been quite a few years since that's been inspected, it would be a good idea to do that if you were, you know, up to the task, or if not, that would be also something that you could get your HVAC provider to look at a little bit. So, you know, all those things use energy, and all of them have different percentages of impact. Obviously, the building shell, you know, for the average homeowner, the building shell, the infiltration, or the amount of air leaks, or the amount of ways that there are for heat and heat to escape the house, in conjunction with how well the mechanical system's running, because heating and cooling is a large portion of your annual energy use. We've discussed this more than once during live broadcasts. So those are the things that you need to get the pulse on first, and then look at some of the smaller, lesser impact items.
Well, and you're right. I mean, that's the big picture. And while one thing here, one thing there in and of itself may not seem like a big deal, when you have one thing here and one thing there and one thing there, they all do cumulatively end up having an impact on your energy cost and your efficiency.
So if you start to add up the gaps and cracks where you're seeing daylight coming into your house, and let's say that you've got a crawl space and the insulation is coming away from the floor and it's not coming in contact with the subfloor and it's, you know, sagging down, if you will, or you've got a lack of insulation in the attic and your attic hatch is leaking and your ductwork's got a, you know, got some holes in it here and there. Once those things start to compound on themselves, it really has a negative effect on your energy use in peak season, like peak summer and peak winter. It will always cost you more, you know, focusing on the all-electric home now, not to try to throw a different piece in the equation, because everybody has different appliances, and some people are, you know, with gas and oil, and they augment and supplement with different things, so that all comes into the mix. But looking at the all-electric house, it's always going to cost you more to heat your home than it will to cool it, because of the temperature difference between inside and outside. So the bigger the temperature difference, the more energy you need to do that. So the DIY audit, you know, just to get a good grip on what's going on around the house, you know, from a insulation, air sealing, building envelope, HVAC, and major appliances is a good place to start.
I'm going to go home and start going through all of this stuff now.
Call me if you need to.
So Lewis O'Berry has been here in the studio with me. He is an energy management advisor for Rappahannock Electric Cooperative. We have been talking DIY energy audits. If you need any more information about any of this, I'm sure myrec.coop, there's a ton of information on the website.
There's a ton of information on the website. We have our own page called the Energy Center. There's a multiplicity of tools, and we'll talk more in depth about that hopefully soon. But we have a lot of tools there that you can use to help assess your energy use, and even when it comes down to projecting, you know, what your bills are going to be with rates and things of that nature as well.
Awesome. Well, Lewis, thanks for coming to hang out with me. I appreciate it.
Yes, ma'am. Always good to see you.